Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So we're going to be going to John 1 and teasing. I was over there cheating. I'm looking over at Paul, what he was looking at this morning. What are you going into today? Let me see what you're going in over there.
That's love.
The Bible. There you go. I'll just start a couple things that are on my mind. We've been talking about loving God, loving one another. We've been talking a little bit about purging and how those things get kicked up out of us and we can see them and get shed of them. It's nasty. It's ugly. Remind me not to talk about it this week. No, but, the Lord's grace is so incredible. And I want to read a little bit on chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want to touch in on a little bit of this. Now, and I completely could have this wrong. So the guys online, forgive me. Paul, forgive me. Paul probably straightened me out a little bit in this. And I don't know if this relates, but I know God's grace is sufficient, and that's a choice we got to believe in. I come up here every week, guys, and it's not an easy thing for me, especially when you had some really rough times throughout the week, man. You know what I mean? I mean, really severely going, oh Lord, I was just preaching about purging. Preaching about loving God. I was preaching about long suffering. And absolutely failing and standing in a lot of those things. But God's grace is so big, it's so huge, that even through the midst of all those things, and all I can see is failure, all I can see is failure within myself, in the choices that are made, and in the things that I have let come in. And my fault. Nobody's fault but mine. The Lord's given me everything I needed. And all I see is just failure. I still look, and the Lord shows up that I can't but help but say, glory to God. He is good. In the midst of the fights, in the midst of the failings, in the midst of the struggles, He shows up at the end for good. To something that is beneficial to me. Even though I look and go, Lord, I've been a terrible servant. Terrible. But yet, yes, grace is that awesome that He turns that which I see as a failure in an upset and in a wrong, and turns it around to His glory at the end of it, and at the end of the week. And I go, man, some really good things worked out of all this mess. Only God can do that. It's like Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But with what he uses, God flips that back over on top of his head. Paul says he won't let that stand. So I say it's a hard thing to come up here. But the Lord makes it really easy because he's so doggone good. I don't even know if I said that right. Really good. And I want to go, and so, did I tell you what verse to go to in chapter? Okay, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12. And I want to look at this. I want to go to, we'll just start at verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now this part, you know, I believe this is where Christ has taken up Paul into the third heavens and him showing him his kingdom. And I could be wrong, but I believe that's the case. And that's why he's like in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But that's not the point I want to come to. But it does put in mind of what we're going to talk about here a little bit. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you see here Paul being caught up into the third heaven. The Lord is showing, Jesus Christ is showing him, revelations and mysteries of the gospel before the foundations of the earth, and is revealing these things unto him. I mean, I don't know. If that happened to me, my head would be so freaking big and nobody could talk to me. I just, you know, that'd be me. I mean, would have been Paul too. That's what he's saying. So he's not going to glory what the Lord has shown him. He just knows that comes from the Lord. He has nothing to boast in that. Nothing to boast in that. All he can boast of is, man, I'm a sinner. I was the chief of sinners, is what he says in another epistle. I'm the chief of sinners. He was persecuting this church. But God chose him, being that he was absolute the enemy of him, and turned it around and made him an apostle for the foundations of the earth. And here's where he says in 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, a measure. So there was something ailing him. I don't know what it was, but there was something. And it kept him humble, I believe. Paul's looking at me. I'm messing this up?
It's sin.
He had sin.
Blightly pride.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Nothing you can do about it. And here's where Paul... It's all about the gospel here. You know, it all goes to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, it all goes down to not his ability, not what he has done right, not what he has done or accomplished, but through what Jesus has done and accomplished, and about his grace, and he needs it. And that's all it's about, is him. And his absolute having to rely on the gospel, which he was sent out to do to the Gentiles, to go preach to the Gentiles. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look, he is not counting on his own ability. He knows he's a sinner. He's counting on the gospel and the power of the resurrection working mightily in him. Not on him, but the power of Christ. Just as we see many examples where Joseph, I know I've been hitting on Joseph, where Joseph said, you know, I can't interpret dreams. That's God's job. But God's going to interpret that dream for you, Pharaoh. That ability was all on the Lord, and he put his faith in the Lord in that. You know what? Abraham put his faith in the Lord when he offered up Isaac. Knew that, you know, that's the promise. God would have to resurrect him. That's what it says in Hebrews. That's the testimony in Hebrews. We have many of the, you know what? I really like Samson's testimony. You know, from the outside, what he was doing from all the other people around was absolutely wrong. You know, he comes up on that last day, his hair's cut, let that woman beguile him, and he stands up and says, you know, give me my strength one more time. Where is his faith? Is in the God and his power and in his might. Where his strength was anyway. But at the last day, he stood. He stood. I know. We guys, we're all work in progress. And we can take Abraham and we can look at where he did not trust God. I mean, it's easy to look. Well, it's not really easy to look, but you can find where examples where the Lord was guiding him to trust him. End of his conversation was faith, absolute faith in Jesus Christ. You see, David, his faith was in the grace of Jesus Christ. They showed him, God showed him the gospel before it happened. I think he showed him that so he can move on. And with all his failings, with all his screws up, and he took the consequence of that, he still stood in the faith of God for the people. So it's not the ability which you worketh out. It's what his ability is. And how awesome he is. Sing that song, Our God is an Awesome God. And he is. And he's loving, and he's merciful, and he's good to even have a relationship with us. Even when we don't do things right. You know, that's how good he is. He's finished the work. We need to put that trust in that he did. That's it.
The phrase I was fishing around for that I didn't quote rightly was Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's the only righteousness you can have. That one is perfect. But that's where he was banging around a little bit there when he started. And, you know, you get the designs and the plans and the schemes of the enemies to kill, steal, and destroy you. And even apparent, you haven't done anything right. You haven't given good counsel. You have no idea what to say. You're not there for somebody when they needed you. You know, Lord is able to turn that around and yet give you opportunity to get things right. And yet be a blessing to people. It's been an interesting week. It's been a great praiseworthy week for some people. It's been we just plotted from one day to the next for some other people. And others has been turmoil. I succeeded in being there for some of them and I wasn't there for others. Sometimes I don't get it right. But, you know, Lord's good. I'm not. And, yeah, I'd like for everybody to like me, but sometimes I'm just not likable.
That's true.
You didn't have to agree with that so fast. But, you know, Lord loves me anyway. And I wasn't there when Linda needed me, and, you know, I have been there for Angie, and, you know, I've been hanging around a lot with Jeff, and that's been good and fun sometimes. And, you know, Casey was there when I needed her to go get something done for me, so that was, the Lord is good. And, you know, so I know some of you love me, some of you just put up with me, and some of you don't like me. That's all right. Not about me. It's about how good the Lord is. Well, let's see. I managed to lose my place. Of course. Huh? Yeah. Well, that was just one of those ways in which he's good. No weapon formed against thee, servant of the Lord, shall stand. When you're in him, you have all of his good promises. And, you know, Philip and I were chatting, and he was talking about just the good time he was having with his buddies, that when he was able to have opportunity to share with them, to be there for them, to offer his witness, his testimony to them. And, you know, what hit me was John chapter 1, verse 1, until when I stop. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty clear. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we were kind of knocking around this a little bit. I don't remember which day it was, but one of the days in the last, was it that? I mean, the idea of in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And I digress here for a moment, but, you know, these people who teach evangelism nowadays, there are certain phrases that you hear uttered, or at least I have, over years and years and years, like, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and some of that's true. But if you haven't turned your life over to him, he doesn't know you. He doesn't know you. You don't have access to all the great promises of the Lord. But when you turn your life over to him and you agree to be in his plan, then you have access to all that is his. All of it. Don't have it unless you do that. And then there's that idea. When your life is his life, then you have laid down your life, right? Pick up your cross and follow me. When you give him your life, that means he gets to do with it what he wants to do with it. That's what a servant is, right? What did Isaiah just say about a servant? No weapon formed against you shall stand. And I have given you my righteousness. That's as good as it gets, because you don't get into his kingdom without his righteousness. Doesn't work. I digress. So I'm back on topic here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you are in him, your life is hid with him in Christ, him with Christ in God. Then your life is now his life. It is, you've turned it over to him to do with as he would. That life is now, can be the light of men. When he's hanging out with Richard or Ricky or whoever else he may be hanging out with, he actually has fun with that. He has an opportunity. He loves doing that. When I have an opportunity to give counsel to somebody and show them something they haven't seen before, I become a light unto them. The Lord has imparted his life into me. And that life is light to those who will come and partake of it. That's what he's doing. And that's what we love doing. Sometimes everybody doesn't love it quite as much as I do, but or quite as much as Phil does. Sometimes it doesn't look real good, like it hasn't at times with Brad. When you drive an hour and a half into town and go up to his hospital room and say you're going to hell. When you leave. That's pretty much all I came here to say.
Should have asked you to get it done over the phone, it'd been easier.
No, they told me to go. So I had to go. But, you know, it doesn't matter if I was just doing that to be obedient. The Lord blessed it anyway. And I guarantee you I didn't want to do it. It wasn't, oh, Lord, let me please you in this way. It wasn't.
I don't think it's on both of you.
Lord was like, please, just don't let this happen. I really don't want to do this. But you have, you know, an opportunity to actually, as time passes, you look at the big picture, what's going on, you see that whether it's a great week where things have gone well for you and you know things are turning over and it looks like you're going in the direction you need to be going in and the Lord's providing for you, or whether it's been a week of, oh man, hardest week I've had at work. I'm home, my family's in turmoil. You get to see that these things that have maybe been works of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy from you. What you see happening is tribulation worketh patience, patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Not that hope doesn't disappoint. When your hope is in the Lord, it's in something that changes you. It changes your perspective. It changes your expectations. Your expectation now is not about what is you can do. It's about taking this stuff to the Lord that you have no idea. I don't know what to tell him. I don't know how to deal with it, Lord. I need your wisdom. I need your discernment. What does it say, buddy? What does James say about what happens when you ask for wisdom? What happens?
Give it to all men liberally.
But you got to expect it. You're going to get it. And he will give it liberally. That's more experience. That's more experience at work of hope. And it doesn't. The offense here is you take nothing. You take nothing to the Lord except your confession that you don't have any idea what to do. And in that humbleness, humility, he's able to move on your behalf. And the more that happens, the more experience happens, the more experience teaches you to trust him. That's the hope that isn't disappointing. Philip and I never dreamed we'd be standing up in front of a bunch of people talking about how good the Lord is. You know, to me, just the no weapon formed against thee can stand. I mean, that's a great promise. That means that all the stuff where the enemy's been hammering you and trying to get your attention off the Lord and onto yourself and how this isn't fair and all this stuff that we already have a tendency toward. We have a tendency to want to agree with him anyhow. That's why we have to have Christ, who is our life, shedding his light on us so that we can shed it on other people. As ministers, that's how we minister the life of Christ, as we have come after him as a body. He doesn't sit here and commit himself to you so that you can sit in a chair at a church from the time you're 12 to the time you're 79, 90, 12, whatever. Let me just make up some numbers. He gives of himself to you so that you can do his work for him. He's there. We're here. And then he gives you his great and wonderful promises that you can be partakers of. If you just believe it. And then spit that promise back at the enemy when stuff like that happens to you. I choose to trust the Lord. I've seen what happens when I try to direct it and it doesn't work out so well. Most of us in here, I don't think any of us ever came, as Brad would say, to the Lord on a good day. Trust in the Lord and know that He's good. And the best way you can love Him is to tell somebody else how good He is. And if they will, He will let them participate in His plan. I'm done.